Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now we continue our series, 51 Council Members in 52 Weeks. In this year in which most of the New York City Council is new because of term limits and its majority female for the first time, we're going district by district and inviting every member of council this year to get representatives of every New York City neighborhood on the show this year, so 51 council members in 52 weeks. This is week 19, so we're up to district 19. The districts go borough by borough. 1 through 10 were in Manhattan, 11 through 18 in the Bronx. So now we enter Queens with districts 19 through 32. So that's going to be a whole bunch of weeks in a row on the show. 19 through 32 are in Queens. Then 33 through 44 in Brooklyn. Those are the two most populous boroughs, so they have the most city council members. Then we'll end the series with the two from Staten Island, districts 50 and 51. This week also brings us to the first Republican in the series. Only 5 of the 51 council members are Republicans in very blue New York. With us now, council member Vicky Palladino from District 19 in the northeast corner of Queens, which includes Whitestone, College Point, Bayside, Little Neck, Douglaston, and parts of North Flushing. And by way of full disclosure, it's the district I grew up in and where my parents still live. I went to Bayside High School, just like Mayor Eric Adams and City Council Speaker Adrian Adams did. So, Councilmember Palladino, thanks for coming on and joining our series, 51 Council Members in 52 Weeks. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian, and welcome home.
You bet. Every weekend.
It is the best.
I'll be there again on Saturday. So as we do with the new members of City Council, I'll invite you to talk a little bit about your own bio first. Did you grow up in the district? Where'd you go to school? What first got you into politics?
Sure. I grew up, I'm 68 years old, Brian. I grew up in Whitestone. I still reside in Whitestone. We bought my mother-in-law's house, which was a shipbuilder's estate, you know, because District 19 is completely water locked by on one side, coming from College Point straight through to Little Neck, Douglaston. So I'm in that, they were in that house 70 years. My husband will be 70 years old. I've lived there now for the last 37 years. I went to PS 193. I went to junior high school 194. I did 2 years at Flushing High School, completed it 2 years at St. Helena High School in the Bronx. What got me into politics? Well, let me tell you this. I'm one of 5, Italian family. Mom originated and father originated from the Bronx. They came to Whitestone when it was simply farmland in 1947. My mother cursed my father out for bringing her to the farm, but ended up, of course, loving it. And in saying that, when I was in high school, early years of high school, what got me started was the Vietnam War. I stood firmly against the Vietnam War. However, because we were inundated back in those days, we only had the 3 major news channels, 2, 4, and 7. And every night that news went on, again, it was limited, 6 p.m. news or early in the morning, the Today Show had first gotten started. And watching jungle warfare, napalm and all of that, it really hit you hard. So you had to watch your brother or your uncle or your cousins go off to war. So I did not protest ever against the war. I protested in favor of our service people who went to war, because they today, and of course, when they came back, became the forgotten veterans. 50,000 people died in that war, and I it was sickening to me. So that's really what got me started as far as activism goes. And I started that at 16 years old. I did my first parade down Main Street Flushing with fellow kids that went to high school with me to combat what was going on at Kent University and the rest of it. I believe in construction, not destructive protesting.
So just to clarify that part of your political formation, you were against the war and against the shooting by the National Guard at Kent State, and that's the spring of 1970, if I have that correct.
That is correct.
But you also protested in support of the troops who were getting disrespected.
Correct. That's exactly right. I don't like to call it protest. We marched in favor of. As a matter of fact, being 16, it was all the way with the USA, because it was really sickening to me. Remember, that was a draft back then. They started the lottery, because I remember sitting on the rug in my mother's living room, watching our TV, waiting for my then boyfriend, now husband's number, birth date to come up. Mm. And his number came up 294. And I sighed a breath of relief.
Right. That's a good thing.
Yes.
294. Yes. You weren't going to get drafted. They weren't going to get up to that high of a date.
That's correct. In that limited amount of time. Yes.
What made you a Republican? Not unheard of in that district, to be sure, but unusual enough in New York City.
Well, like I said, it was always political. What made me a Republican? First president I ever voted for, sit tight, Richard Nixon. I don't know what made me a Republican, because I come from a very non-political family. My mother never discussed politics except what was going on the daily news, you know, what was going on in our neck of the woods here with the mayor, John V. Lindsay, and up from there, you know, she had her own personal views about things. But there was no in-depth conversation. We were heartbroken, like I said, by the Vietnam War, which occupied us a great deal. And I got married at 20 years old, Brian. So, and I had my first son at age 23. So I grew up quick. My mom was a single mom. My dad died. He was 41. My mother was left a widow at age 39. And, I am the youngest of the first three, because my sister Pat is 12 years older than I. She's gone now. My brother Alfred was 6 years younger than Pat, 6 years older than me. He's gone now. So I was the youngest of the first three. And then I was the eldest of the last. So in other words, me and then my sister Angela 3 years later, and then my sister Joanne 2 years after her. So I got the best of both worlds. I was always very mature. People came to me all the time, whether they were family members or just girlfriends or friends. My husband was a musician and still is. And I don't know why I became a Republican, to be quite frank with you. It was just the way it went.
What's it like being in such a small minority in city council? How do you exert influence if in a partisan sense, you're going to be in a very small minority of many votes?
Answer to that is just be a voice for your constituents. I don't expect to move mountains. I don't expect to win wars. But what I promised my constituents was a battle. And that was to fight for what they believed in, why I got elected. I didn't get elected because of Republicans. I got elected because of Republicans and Democrats. And I'm very proud about that. My campaign office was one that was based upon issues. My campaign office, people walked in. It's a great location, right? You'll know it because you live here, on Francis Lewis Boulevard, off of Willits Point. So it's street level, and people were able to come in and out. It's still a very busy office. I turned my campaign office into my government office. And they walked in, several people, at many different times during the campaign. And they said, what are you, a Democrat or a Republican? At that time, my issues were up on the wall, beautifully done as artwork. And I simply replied to them, read what the issues are and you tell me.
What issues were on your wall?
Well, at that time it was crime. Of course it still is. Education, the lockdowns, the mandates, and, just people reading what they saw, and they agreed with what they saw. And I had many Democrats say, wow, no, I'm a Republican. Does it really matter now after you read what you read? And they said, no, it doesn't matter at all. Thank you very much. You have my vote. So it was a lot of personal contact for me. I'm all about people and I'm all about one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball. and people really gravitate to that. I've been like this all my life. You know, I'm a businesswoman with my husband. We started at age, I was 25, he was 27 when we started our landscaping business. And then we shut it down in our late 50s. And I went to work for my sister Joanne as her chief operating officer, again, dealing with people because she deals in, she is a manufacturer of high-end soft goods. So I dealt with people all over the continent, you know, all over the United States, whether you be north, south, east, or west. And here I got to know, through my landscaping business, people in my vicinity of the borough of Queens, but we went into the Bronx, we went out to Long Island. So that was what I did all my life.
Your council website says you're well known for standing up to the radical political elements who threaten to tear our city apart. And then it cites your direct style, like you were just saying, you're there for the battle. And that's different from most of the other council bios we've been looking at in this series, in that you center identifying an enemy, the radical political elements, as you call them, who threaten to tear our city apart.
Right.
Who are they, in your opinion, and how much of city council would you say falls into that category?
That's a great question. Who are they? Without naming names, one particular councilwoman who comes from Astoria, she claimed to have started her own, what does AOC call it down in Washington?
Squad.
There you go. She started her own squad in city council, which I find amusing because that shows me how closed-minded they are.
Which stands for what, as you see it?
As I see it, radical left wing, that basically they don't believe in the police. They have no regard for history or what we're based upon and our basic values, human rights, human values. They call out justice, justice, justice. Well, what justice are they seeking, I ask? Because I think everybody needs justice in one form or another, whether you are a Republican or a Democrat. So I don't much care for that. I don't care for the one-sidedness and their lack of ability to see two sides of a coin, you know, because you can't build bridges if you can't see two sides of a coin, can you, Brian?
Right. But they would probably say, I don't know who the individual is you're talking about in that one case, but a lot of our council members would probably say, historically, talk about history, there has not been equal justice for African Americans and many other people of color in this country. And so they feel rooted in a tradition that is a fight for equal justice, and so they say justice, 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 in
ways that people from
your district already have.
Look, that's untrue. First off, let me take that apart a little bit, what you just said. The African-American community has made tremendous strides in the last 100 years. One got to be president of the United States of America. One got to be a Supreme Court justice. One became Secretary of State. I don't believe that there has not been justice. I think a person is able to achieve whatever they need to achieve or want to achieve if they're willing to work hard, despite the color of their skin.
I'll take you one more step down this road, and then we'll talk about something else. But
sure. But
they would probably say, many of your colleagues would probably say, but that's not enough to point to say that there's been a president of the United States who's black, attorney generals who have been black. And by the way, guests, listeners, our next guest is going to be former Attorney General Eric Holder. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. But if you look at who the essential workers were when COVID first hit and are still, and who therefore got the sickest and died the most in these relatively low wage service positions. If you look at the fact that there is a 10-to-1 wealth gap, 10-to-1 between whites and blacks in America, there's still a lot of injustice in the scheme of things?
Nah, not buying it. Nope, not buying it, because every university is open to whoever wants to achieve. What we're working towards right now, and I know I am, is, you know, no child should go unserved. Let's understand, everything starts at childhood, Brian. And proper schooling is what I'm plugging for. I push very hard for great public schools. I'm a public school advocate. You know, I grew up in a home that was poverty stricken. My clothes came out of a plastic bag. But I'm going to tell you the difference between then and now. See, now a lot of people burden their kids with a lot of older people's problems. My mother never did that. She always showed us the better way to go, that you could be anything you want to be, no matter what your economic background is, no matter where you come from. And I believe that when we work hard and we put our heads together, I really believe that this is going to serve us all very well. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, I don't go by color of skin at all. I don't do that because it's all about, you know, every today, especially in 2022, do you know how many people are suffering economically? They can't make their mortgage payments. They can't pay their rent. I don't care what color of the skin they are.
Disproportionately Blacks and Latinos.
Disproportionately in those areas. Come over to our area. There's a lot of people. Don't let you live here. Your parents live here. Don't let the smoke and mirrors fool you. Okay, because I know a lot of people who are struggling to put food on their table, struggling to keep their businesses open. So many have closed. They can't make their car payments. They can't do what they were able to do. And you know what? I feel today, in this day and age, the world is open. Our city is open to all. And I think it's up to the individual. And let the city council reflect that. Out of 35 new members, most of them are Black and Latino. So I think they've made great strides in their own neighborhoods. And we start there with community. So I'm not buying into that anymore. I won't do it. I'm not a victim, and nobody here is a victim anymore. No,
this is
I don't
WNYC, FM, HD, and AM New York, WNJT, FM, 88.1 Trenton, WNJP, 88.5 Sussex, WNJY, 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO, 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey public radio and live streaming at WNYC.org. We're in our city council series, 51 council members in 52 weeks. We're up to District 19 with our first Republican in the series. 1 through 18 are all represented by Democrats. Vicky Palladino from Northeast Queens. A few more minutes with her, then the news, then Eric Holder. We're asking each member, especially the new members, what's the most common reason that constituents contact your office since you took office in January?
I think it's becoming, you know, economic issue, education issue, a crime issue, basic quality of life is what they're coming in about. Property taxes are people who live in what, you know, our affordable housing is known as co-ops and condos. We have a great deal of Section 8 housing now that has come in to the Whitestone area and parts of Bayside and certainly Flushing. That's been a real issue, property taxes and the increase in what it costs to live today in general. Law and order is a big problem. We've had several shootings. You're an alumni of Bayside High School.
Correct.
I am an alumni of Flushing for 2 years, freshman and sophomore year. But Bayside High School is doing tremendously well. But my issue are the kids. I'm really concerned about the generations that are coming up now. I'm scared for them. I'm scared. I'm very scared because they don't have much. They've grown up in a COVID society, for lack of a better word. They had a social life and they lost it for 2 years. They're trying to reacclimate themselves, get themselves back into things. The principal of Bayside High School, Mrs. Martinez, is a gem. She's fabulous. She's a brand new principal to the school. I had a one-on-one with her for close to 2 hours. She's a welcome newcomer, and I look forward to doing a great deal of work with her. I don't have many high schools in my district, except for Bayside High, but I do have junior high schools, and I do have elementary schools, and I hold them very near and dear to me. And it's all about the kids and saving the kids.
And finally, Councilmember Palladino, we're inviting each member of council, as you know, to bring a show-and-tell item from your district. You have a cool one in your neighborhood that I never knew about. Want to share?
Let me tell you, it brings a big smile to my face because I'm a Turner Classic Movie girl. I love my old movies. So this year, our end of town, Brian, was once known as Hollywood East. And there are these Tudor apartments on Powell's Cove Boulevard before you get to La Havre. Are you familiar?
No, not that spot exactly.
Okay. So if you come around by North Shore Farms and you ride Powell's Cove Boulevard up, there's these beautiful Tudor apartments that were built by Mary Pickford and Charlie Chaplin. And they ran bootlegging out of there. Directly across the street, and the tunnel is still there, was this gigantic white mansion. And going back to the late 20s, like I said, this was country. And you used to swim in the Long Island Sound. There was the beach. And across the street, though, which was interesting, was this white mansion. And they used to bootleg. They used to run the liquor. The tunnel is still there from the house to the apartment building and back and forth. We also are home to Rudo Valentino. It's now a restaurant. It was landmarked. And I got married in Oscar Hammerstein's summer home, which was known back then as Ripples on the Water. So it's now been turned into condos, as everything else has. So the only thing that's left is just the bare bones of the English Tudor. But a lot of fun things happened in Whitestone. And because we are on the water in Bayside, a lot of ships had to pass by us in order to get through Hell's Gate and to get to the port at South Street. And there's a lot of few fun facts here that a lot of people are not aware of.
Charlie Chaplin, Rudolph
Charlie
Valentino.
Charlie Chaplin and Mary Pickford.
Pickford.
They were an item. Yep.
City Council Member Vicky Palladino, representative from District 19 in Northeast Queens. Next week, it's on to District 20. Thank you for joining our year-long series, 51 Council Members in 52
this
Weeks.
This has been an absolute pleasure, and it's nice to know you're a neighbor. And anytime you want to stop in, Brian, just head down Francis Lewis Boulevard in between 20th and Willits Point, and you'll find Vicky, okay?